I want to read just a little bit from the book of Isaiah. You know, this morning I spoke just a little bit concerning the shortcomings, not altogether of the people, but the shortcomings of receiving the benefits of Christ. You know, God has got a lot of benefits for the church. There's a lot of wonderful things God has for you. But you know, we've gotten into such a condition until God has become superficial. And He's not real. You know, He's more like a myth. God to the church of today is not like He was to the church of yesteryear. Back in the days of the apostolic times and the people, in that day, God was a living God of reality. He was a God that they believed in. He was a God that could heal and a God that could save. And He was a God that could meet all of their needs according to His riches and glory. Today, they're not like the church of yesteryear. See, the church believed in that kind of God. They believed in that kind of God. A God that could do all those things. But what do we believe in today? We say, well, we believe in God, Brother Pike. Who is God? There can't be but one God that I know of. And He said, I'm the one that created heaven and earth. And I stretched out the heavens by myself. And there's no other God. I don't know of any, He said. There can't be but one God. And the Bible said in the beginning, that one God that stretched out the heavens, that did all of this in the beginning, He was the Word. The Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To every generation, He is the Word. So then the only God that I know of is the Word. The Word doesn't change. When the Word appeared many years ago, it was identically the same as it is today. The Word remaineth the same. The Bible said the Word of the Lord came unto the prophets. Or God came in the spiritual form of a word, a promise, a benefit. And there came the word of God unto the prophets. God was the same. God, Jesus Christ, the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, Jesus is the same. That means that the Word, without alteration or changes, remains the same to every generation. It's the same to Brother Pike. It's the same to Brother Hollis. It's the same to Brother Vince. It's the same to Brother Taylor. The Word of God is the same to me as it was to my grandfather. It will be the same to my grandchildren as it is to me today. God is the same. God doesn't change. God, the Word, is without alteration or change to every generation. He is the same. Then the question arises, if that be true, and we know that it is, then why is it that we do not receive the same benefits today that they received years ago, if He is the same? If God hasn't changed, why is it that the benefits of today to the church is not the same as it was then in the sense of them receiving the benefits? There is a reason. What is the reason? The reason is unbelief. Unbelief in what? God. And who is God? God is the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Unbelief in God. Unbelief in the Word. Now then, if it's not God's fault, in that God never changes, then the fault has to lie within you and me. It's got to lay within us, is that right? So then, if we are at fault, what is the fault? Unbelief. Unbelief in God's Word. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that's the case, I'll take care of that. Well, just read it to me and I'll believe it. It ain't that easy, is it? Because I read to you to repent of your sins. Do you just do it? No, I'm afraid you don't. I read to you that the Bible said not only repent of your sins, but it says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But you don't do that. It isn't too easy, is it? So then what is the problem? Unbelief. Unbelief. If 3,000 people at the preaching of Peter, the man that had the keys to the kingdom, if 3,000 people repented of their sins and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then who is your pastor and your preacher and your college scholar that has the power and the right and the authority to change the situation and baptize another way, or to tell the people to be baptized another way? Who is he? Peter was the one that said it was supposed to be like that and commanded for it to be like that. Who is the fellow that you've been communicating with? Where did he get his power and authority? Who sent him? God didn't send him. The Bible said they ran and they went, but I didn't send them. How do you know God didn't send you, Brother Pike? Because God is the Word. And what is the Word? It is the command that Peter gave. Go preach my name. Preach remission of sin in my name. Preach that you can call on my name and be saved. Let salvation be in my name and none other name. And let them preach remission of sin in my name, beginning at Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world. Let your Bible scholar and your college scholar and your Baptist preacher and your Methodist preacher and your Catholic priest, your Church of God preacher and your Assembly of God preacher and your Pentecostal Holiness preacher and the Church of Science and the Church of Christ and all the rest of them, the Episcopal, let your preachers go and tell them that there is remission of sin in none other name but my name, and preach repentance and remission in my name. Let all of the preachers do that. Anybody got any objections? Who are they? You know, I say this over and over, at least the Catholic priest and the Catholic people, and I don't mean this in a critical way or joking way, at least the Pope's got enough sense to believe that Peter was the first Pope. I said, Brother Pike, you believe he was the first Pope? If that's what they want to call him. You say, well, why do they believe that Peter is the first Pope? That's the only way they can establish the church. They knew that he had the keys to the kingdom. And the only thing that they can do to have a church is to say that I am his successor. Otherwise, it would be of no benefit. At least the Catholic Church has got that much sense. Now, what about the Protestant? What about the Protestant? You know, they came out from the Catholic Church through the rebellion of Martin Luther, protesting against the Catholic Church. Thus, the Protestant or the protesting ones was born. Why is it that they do not believe that the only authority is by Peter? In the sense that he was the first. You know what? I don't mean this wrong, but a lot of people, as I've said before, they feel that they are brilliant and educated, and they feel like Peter was ignorant. He was an ignorant fisherman. So they say that Paul is our leader, that God sent Paul to the Gentile church, which is true. So then they say we follow Paul, and Paul didn't preach baptism in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what, I challenge anybody anywhere at any time to prove to me he didn't. I challenge anybody anywhere at any time, and I can prove to you that he did, and that there was no other baptism that he did preach. The 19th chapter of Acts, he made them be baptized over because they were not baptized in the name of Jesus. So then, folks, who am I or you or any other preacher or some laity or whatever? Who are you that you should stand up against Almighty God, who laid the foundations of the church and said these 12 stones that I put here in the crossing of the Jordan is for your children to know that we've crossed this old carnal mind. And we've gotten away from this old thing that's called death that comes from the tree of human reasoning and knowledge. That I'm laying here 12 apostolic stones that I call the foundation. And God was saying, don't you, Brother Pike, or Brother Ponda, or Brother Taylor, or Brother Gilbert, or any other brother try to build any other foundation or lay any other foundation. You take the foundation of these 12 apostles that I spoke to over here in Matthew 28. You take these apostolic leaders that I spoke to as the foundation of the church. And other foundations can no man lay. And you know, if we want to look on over in the new city of New Jerusalem, we'll find their names written in the foundation. And they are the foundation of that great, wonderful city that all of the lively stones such as you and I are built up upon. Up into a holy priesthood, coming up into that headstone in Jesus Christ, the city of God. So then, there is no other foundation except this one that I have laid, Jesus said. I picked these 12 apostolic stones. I've laid them for the foundation of the church. I've given Peter the keys to the kingdom. And in laying this foundation, giving him the keys to the kingdom, I've laid this foundation and warned you that no man try to build anything on this foundation but what I've commanded to be built upon it. For if you bring hay and stubble, I'll burn it up. And the day will try your works. You'll find out that you don't have anything. And you won't stand when the contrary winds of doctrines begin to blow. When the devils and demons of oppression come. And when that great hour of temptation that the Bible speaks of. When that great hour of temptation comes. The Bible said to try all of them that dwell on the earth. I will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the whole world. Folks, it's setting in. Did you know that? Every man and woman is being tried and their minds are being oppressed till they're just about ready to explode. That's why the youth is turning to dope the way they are. Somebody would say, well, the youth is just overrun with dope, Brother Pike. The elders are too. They just get it from the doctors through shots and pills and everything else. It's all the same. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. But that foundation has been laid. That foundation. And Jesus said, I'm going to lay this foundation with these 12 apostolic leaders. I'm going to lay the foundation, and you take heed how you build thereupon, because there's not going to be another foundation. There's not going to be another one. I'm going to read just a verse, chapter 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. What does he mean, look unto that, the hole of the pit from whence ye are digged? Did you know that when Jesus came up, he came up out of a hole? Did you know that? He came up into the resurrection. Which means that if I was buried with him in that hole, then I come up out of that hole, and today I can look back to that hole, to that pit, and I know that he dug me up and he brought me up in the resurrection, the pit from whence I was dug. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and not me living, Paul said, but him that liveth within me. And so then this great, wonderful Jesus, this great apostolic foundation, this great, wonderful crossing of the Jordan, the Bible tells us that the foundation has been laid. And with this, 3,000 people, or 3,000 lively stones, was laid upon that foundation. as the first great, wonderful apostolic church. The one, the true, and the only church that God ever built. There it is. And here we are today, all of these denominational powers, all of these great scholars, all of these great evangelists, preaching around the world and across the nation. And they feel because they come out of some seminary, or because they say that God called them to preach, that they have the right and the audacity to stand up and say, I can do it this way. Though the Bible says another way, they say, I can do it this way. How can you do it that way? Because I have power to do it that way. Brother, let me tell you something. Sister, let me tell you something. God does give power. And to as many as believe, the Bible said, gave he power if they believed on his name. But not to as many as believed. You may believe a lie and be damned. But to as many as believe on my name, Jesus said, I give them power to become the sons of God. So go preach my name. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon my name shall be saved. Paul, repent of your sins. Be baptized. Wash away your sins, Paul. By calling on the name of Jesus and coming up out of that pit from which you're hewn. Buried with him in the pit. Resurrected from the pit with him. Ye that follow after righteousness, look under the pit from which you're hewn. Look back to the baptismal part. Look back to the burial in the grave with Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, as many as been baptized into Christ Jesus, have put on Christ Jesus. Where the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the human ego and the human desire, or the Bible calls it the lust thereof. So then, what a beautiful thing to know that in the crossing of the Jordan, there is the stones. Old brother Joshua took them over the Jordan. You know, he sang that song, cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, for my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness wander. We've got to cross over. What is the wilderness? Your intellectual concept of religion. What is the wilderness? It's the papacy of Rome and the Catholic Church and the Dark Ages, where they misconstrued everything concerning Christ. And the Protestant Church of today, the denominational church of today, that is the wilderness. When God's word and God's way and God's understanding that was given to his people fell into the hands of those people and into the intellectual powers, and they turned it into intellectual darkness, and the Dark Age came on. Why do they call it the Dark Age? Because people became intellectual. The spiritual leaders were killed. James, they killed him. Peter, Paul, they killed him. They'd done away with them. The spiritual leaders were done away with. And all of a sudden, there was no spiritual record of the church. The Jews were driven out. They were stoned, scattered across the earth. The records laid aside. The whole world went into a dark age. What was it? Intellectual darkness, intellectual reasoning, human concept of God. And from about 325 AD, it continued on. The entire church world plunged into darkness under the ruler of the papacy of Rome. And as the powers of Rome spread out, the evil continued until about 1520 or over the 1500s. And God began to do something. God began to raise up great men like Whitefield, or begin to raise up great men like Martin Luther. And God began to bring a little ray of light. And the light began to do away with the darkness. The darkness had to begin to move back, and just a little bit of light began to spring forth. And look at it today. You say, what is it, Brother Pike? The Bible said, and it shall come to pass in the end of the world, in the end time, there shall be light. Though gross darkness of intellectual reasoning shall cover the people, yet in the end time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light in the evening time. Now this great light is springing up. What is this great light? It's this great, wonderful understanding, Christ within you, the hope of glory, and Christ coming forward, and the word of the restoration of the early apostolic teachings, as God brings the light of His word. And the word comes forth, and the word of God does away with denominational theory, and it does away with man's ideology, and it expels the darkness. In that God sends this marvelous light. One of the writers said this light was in the world. He said, we handled it. We handled it. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. What is the charge against man in the end time? The Bible said, and this is the condemnation that comes to man. And this is the way that I'll judge man. And this is what man will be blamed for. The light has come into the world. But men will not honor the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Why is it the church world of today doesn't get together and acknowledge that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin is the only way? Not another way. Not one to add to their collection. They say, Brother Pike, we accept those Jesus name people. But they don't accept us. Brother, that isn't it at all. God don't accept you. That's the one that's rejected you. The Bible said no man can come to the Father except through the name Jesus Christ. People that are truly God's people, you can't just add them to your denominational collection. They don't fit. They're that stone that was rejected when the builders started building. And all the denominational powers have continued to build down through the years. But all of a sudden they've come up to the headstone now. And they can't find the right stone. The Baptist hasn't got it. The Methodist hasn't got it. The Presbyterians haven't got it. And all of the other denominational powers hasn't got it. And the papacy of Rome felt sure that he had it, but he found out he didn't have it. So then it can't be but one thing. What is it? Jesus. It's Jesus. He doesn't fit any place except at the head. They've thrown him over here and they've thrown him over yonder. And they've took the word of God and they've done it just any way. But beloved friend, now the building has come to the top. Where is this great stone? What are they going to do about it? Look over there at the pyramid. Sitting there in Egypt. They've never been able to find it, have they? There it sits without the capstone all down through the years. Why is it that that great, wonderful pyramid has sat there and never had a headstone? It's because all of the rebuilders around the world has rejected the stone that's become the head of the corner. Jesus has been rejected all down through the ages. Everything that they've ever done, they tried to do it without Him. They've never included Him in their plans. They are religious proselytes that won't have the Son of God. They say, but Brother Pike, we believe in the Son of God. You don't believe in the Son of God. Jesus said, if you believe in me and you love me, you'd keep my commandments and you'd do what I tell you to do. You believe in your religious affiliations. You believe in your religious programs and your religious formalities. But Jesus is the Word. You don't believe in the Word. What's wrong with the church of today? Why isn't it like the 3,000 that was added to the church there at the early times? What's wrong with it? The church of today don't believe. They don't believe. What is it they don't believe in? The Word of God. How do you know that? Because they don't honor it. They don't obey it. They don't love God. They don't love God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I've been in this wonderful religious way all my life. And my grandmother was Presbyterian. And my granddaddy was a Catholic. And I had a brother that was a Pentecostal. But I say that you don't love God. God says that you don't love Him. But you can't prove that, Brother Pike. Yes, I can. How can you prove that we don't love God? We love God. We built temples for God. We built churches for God. We've had great missionary programs for God throughout the world. I say that you don't love God, and you didn't build a building for God. You built a building for your denominational power. You built a church for your own community and what you wanted to do. And you do what you want to in it. The Jews did the very same thing. That's why Jesus sat outside, planted a whip, went in and turned over the money tables and popped the whip and drove them out of the temple and said, it is written in the scripture that my Father's house should be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. You've not built a temple to God. You built it to make it for a den of thieves. Somebody would say, but you don't have any Bible for that, Brother Pike. If you'll read in the book of Revelation, it said, and she has become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Come out of her, my people. Be a separate people and partake not of her sins and adulteries and evil. Come out and be a separate people. I'll receive you unto myself, saith the Lord. You say, we don't love God. I say that you don't love God. God says that you don't love Him. What is the love of God? And the Bible said, this is love. Read it in the book of John. Amen. And John said, this is love. And this is the love of God. What is that love? He said, keeping the commandments of God. And this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is love, John said. He just cut it right short. Said, this is love. What is love? The commandments of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I keep the commandments of God. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he was inspired of God. God spoke through him, and Peter said, I command you to repent of your sins. Every one of you, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholics, I command you, Peter said, to repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Did you know, folks, you are a foolish woman and you are a foolish man to listen to some preacher that won't baptize in the name of Jesus and give him your money? There's something wrong with you. There's certainly something wrong with you to do a thing like that. What did he say? I command you. And what should you do? Love God. And if you love God, what will you do? Keep his commandments. Are you going to follow a preacher, a minister that doesn't love God? It's a little wonder when we say, you don't love God. You know, how can you love God? If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And what is the ditch? The great whore. And who is the great whore? The same power that turned the thing into a dark age. The same one that took the thing over when Martin Luther rebelled. And the Protestants that came out as her whorish daughters. That has meant the same way that she went. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that makes me feel indignant toward you. Well, that's all right. We allow for that too. They even done worse than that to Stevens. They stoned him. But I was all right. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean the same whorish system of the old intellectual reasoning. The God of Baal, the God of the flesh, the God of human reasoning. That same old power that come from the tree of knowledge. That same serpent that caused Cain to be like he was. Just as religious as they can be. Giving their offerings to God every day, but God says it's an abomination in my sight. All of your offerings, he said, is the abomination in my sight. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, look at the beautiful TV programs that we've got. And it's reaching the world by satellite. What does that mean? Jesus said, you compass land and sea to make a proselyte, twofold more the child of hell than he was to begin with. Somebody say hallelujah. Getting a TV program and getting a tent. Having what you call a ministry. And having thousands of people to come to the altar to say I love Jesus is not worth the time you take to do it. God has got a program. And that program is you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? Repent every one of you. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. How can you say that's the will of the Father, Brother Pike? Because Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Therefore, the volume of the book is his will. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Bible said, and the Word came forth. And was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible said, God sent his Word and healed them. It was by God's word that he cast out the unclean spirits. Hallelujah. It's always been God's word that he done these things. By his word he did them. Today the word the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is God's word today. I love God's word. Don't you love God's word? The Bible said that man that God sendeth shall speak God's word. I love the word of God. Why? Because if I want healing, I have to take the word. If I want deliverance from devils, I have to take the word. You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to do with that word? Cast the devils out of the pulpit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Said he sent his word, so it cast the devils out of the pulpit. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you don't believe. Yes, I do. You mean to tell me that you believe that those preachers are of the devil? The Bible says there is a doctrine of the devil, and it says doctrines of the devil. That means that the devil's in the religious business. And the Bible says that those ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of light. Marvel not, because he said Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. So then they have transformed. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. They have transformed themselves by the renewing of their minds to be religious and to convince themselves that they're on their way to heaven when they're on their way to hell, and they're ministering the word of light in a perverted way. Jesus stood on the mountain. Satan stood before him. And Satan said, if you be the Son of God, do thus and thus and thus. For thus it is written, he said. And he quoted the word. But his intent was to kill. The spirit behind it was evil. His motives and plans was to wreck and to tear down. So then, where are we today? I like what the Bible said. I have laid this foundation, Jesus said. I'm the one that did it. Brother Pike didn't do it. He didn't have anything to do with it. God gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. I laid this foundation, he said. No one else can lay any other foundation. You fellas that started your denomination, and you folks that come out of college, and you PhDs, and you professors, and you rich, and all of you greats. Jesus said there will be no more foundation laying. I've laid one foundation for the church, and there will not be another foundation. No man, Brother Pike or nobody else. No man can lay any foundation except this one I laid. Well, what is that foundation? He said, let me tell you, take heed how you build thereupon too. He said, because I'm going to let the day try your works, and I'll burn your works with fire. If you try to put a little riches and gold and silver on this foundation. Old Peter said, here's a good foundation, folks. I'm going to give you a good start. He said, I'm a poor boy, gold and silver have I none. God said, don't put none of that on this foundation. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, there goes our TV programs. There goes all of these great things that we're doing for God. There's nothing great about what they're doing for God except getting gold and silver and more money and more money. That's all that's great about it. You could do the same thing. What it is, folks, God said, other foundations can no man lay. I've laid the foundation. And what is the foundation? It's 12 stones. Joshua took the stones as they went across the Jordan and put them on the other side and said, folks, this is to let you know and let your children be in remembrance that we have crossed the Jordan, that we're not going back to the old intellectual tree of knowledge. We're not going back into that wilderness of human education and reasoning. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Why fan the flames of human understanding when God condemns it? We're not going back to that, the Bible said. Joshua said, we're over the Jordan, and this is the stones that prove that we're over the Jordan. We're not going back into that wilderness of wandering, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so then Jesus said, Calvary has come. Calvary has come. The resurrection has come. And now we're over the Jordan. We're on the side of death, and death has been conquered. And folks, from now on, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in the morning. It's Jesus at the noontime. It's Jesus when the sun's going down. The devil don't like that. Somebody say, Jesus. Somebody say, praise Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, the devil, he don't like that. Glory to God, I feel better all the time, Brother Ponder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See what happens when you get to talking about Jesus? That's what's wrong with the church of today. They rejected that cornerstone. It's become the head of the corner, folks. And when you start loving him and praising him, oh, what an atmosphere of heaven you feel. No man can get to that atmosphere in the Father without going through Jesus. So then, he said, there's a foundation. I've laid this foundation. Peter, James, John, Paul. Let's take Peter. Somebody said, well, there you go, Brother Pike. See, you're just singling out one little stone of that foundation. But this is the one he gave the key to. Somebody say, well, what about James and John and the others? Okay, what about them? Let's look at them. The Bible said in Peter, preach, repent, every one of you. And what did the others say? The Bible said they said amen. And the Bible said that the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It didn't say in Peter's doctrine. It said in the apostles' doctrine. And 3,000 people were added to the church. What was it? It was God's foundation. Matthew 28, God said to them, apostles, he said, you're the foundation. Go back over yonder. I'm going to do something. Stay there in Jerusalem. Go to the upper room and tarry till you be endured with this power from on high. And they did it. When that great power come and they begin to reel and rock like drunk men, and people begin to look on, Peter, he waxed bold and he preached the sermon. He began to preach the sermon. What did he preach? Back again. Repent, every one of you. I like that, don't you? The devil, he don't like for me to say that. Honor, Brother Pike, you just hung up. I guess I really am hung up on the Word of God. Can't get loose from it. You know, everything's hung up on the sun, and if it ever leaves the sun, it goes out. So I guess that's where I'm at. I'm hung up on the Word of God, and if I ever left the Word of God, I'd go out. That's what happened to the devil. That's what's happening to the devil's crowd. in the book of Revelation, they leave God and they become wandering stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever, and they go out. But I'm glad we're children of light, not children of the darkness, but children of light. And so then Jesus said, you go back over there, you tarry till this wonderful power comes, and you're going to receive power, and then you'll have power to witness for me. And so then here they come, that wonderful, mighty Holy Ghost, them tongues of fire that the world don't like. And the Bible said it set upon each of them. And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And there came that great, wonderful power of God. And old brother Peter raised up and said, I feel like preaching. Somebody said, amen, brother, go on. And he did. Hallelujah. I'd love to heard Jesus preach, wouldn't you? I'd love to have been sitting on the sideline when Jesus was preaching. My, how I'd love to heard him. Just to see him standing there as a man, just like you and me. And know that it was God that was speaking to me. What a wonderful thing that would have been. There, brother Peter, I'd love to have been there on the day of Pentecost. And I'd love to have heard Peter's voice swell and say, repent every one of you. You know, he'd have to holler pretty loud. They didn't have no mics back there. So they'd have to holler pretty loud with 3,000 folks. Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. But old Peter, he was a husky fisherman, you know, rough and rugged. He probably had lungs where he could bellow like a bull. He cried out, repent every one of you. Said, with them wicked hands of yours, you've taken and crucified my Lord of glory. Said, brethren, I sure hope you've done it in ignorance. I'm going to give you a chance to find out. Said, repent every one of you. Now somebody said, but that wasn't the Baptist, Brother Pike, and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and all of them. He said, every one of you. Somebody said, well, that was that little local group. But the Bible said there were devout men. They were from every nation under heaven. Now there had to be some Baptists and Methodists there somewhere. And there had to be some Catholics and Presbyterians. And besides that, the Pope, he says Peter was the first Pope anyway. It's like the priest. Me and him had a confrontation. And when me and him went round and round, I said, you say that Peter's the first Pope? Why don't you do what he said? He said, Brother Pike, you're right. Said, that's the way it should have been. Said, that's the way it's going to be. Said, that's where the Catholic Church made the mistake. They didn't do what Peter told them to do. Now, isn't that something? Now, that's a bad church. Did you know that? A church that from their very origin, the very time that they set up from the very beginning, disobeys God's word and their first pastor and their first leader and won't do a word that he says. And here it is hundreds of years later and still refuses to do it. But I praise God for the priest. At least he acknowledged it. He said, that's what it is. They need to go back and listen to the first pope. So then, brothers and sisters, there it was. God laid the foundation. And old brother Peter, he preached a sermon. He got up and he preached, repent, and 3,000 people were convicted and they didn't know what to do. And they said, Peter said, what can we do? If we're guilty of this awful, treacherous thing, oh, what can we do, Peter? He said, repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you're going to perish, every one of you. Peter said, repent. He was probably feeling good about that time because he done got his thought over. You know, he done got his sermon over. Said, repent every one of you. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, in this day we're living in, you understand that all of these many people can't go down and be baptized. Let's use a little reasoning, Brother Pike. Now, you know, if you just got a little old church where you baptize one or two every, you know, few days. Well, we understand it. But now, Brother Pike, this is a great evangelistic Billy Graham ministry. And this is that great Oral Roberts crusade. And the Till Osborne crusade. And the other great preachers' crusades. I know it, and it's God's great word right in the middle of it. Holler and repent. And he baptized every one of you, including T.L. Osborne and Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. The best thing they could do is get baptized in Jesus' name and tell the people the error that they've been in. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. That would take away all this confusing mess they got going. You say, you don't believe Billy's done any good. I didn't say that. I didn't say old hadn't done any good. I didn't say that Brother Osborne hadn't done any good. I'm saying there's a lot of good they should have done and left off. And one of the main things is tell the people the right thing about baptism. So then, when you talk about baptism, somebody say, oh, that little old thing. Is that what you're all excited over? They say, Brother Pike, you're hung up at the water hole. Oh, hallelujah. Peter must have felt real good when he got hung up at the water hole. 3,000 of them got to feeling good and got in the water hole. That little old bitty group. Folks, how did he baptize 3,000 people? He had time. It might have took him all day. But I believe he baptized every one of them. Now I want to ask you a question, and you're here to judge me. Let one speak and the others judge. How many of you here that's listening to me, how many of you believe that every one of them that was added to the apostolic church when Peter preached the sermon, how many of you here believe that every one of them was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin? If you don't believe it, don't raise your hand. If you believe it, raise your hand. Praise God, we got some believers. Folks, let me tell you, every one of those people was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. Everyone that was added to the church, and not only that, but the Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And every one of them that he added to the church, he baptized them in Jesus' name. We should try to prove me wrong. Every one of them got hung up, as you say, on the water hole. So then, what do we need to do today? Join the church. Somebody said, but I joined the church, Brother Pike. I belonged to it for years. No, you didn't join the church. Now, you might have joined some denominational power, or you might have joined in with the people that you've always been affiliated with or familiar with. But I'm talking about the church. You say, well, are you saying that my church is not the church? I guess I must be. Well, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Where do you get your authority to say that? Because the Bible says the first church had a foundation, and other foundations can no man lay except that which Christ has laid. And that church was the apostolic doctrine where 3,000 people at Pentecost was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be added to the church. Therefore, if your teachings and your church is contrary to that, then it is not the church. It may be great in number. It may be great in power. It may be great in age. It might have started many years ago, but it has nothing to do with it. So did the Constitution. Now then, you say, but we got great following, Brother Pike. So did Hitler. He had a great following. That don't mean nothing. Noah didn't have but a few followers. The others had great following, but that didn't mean nothing. God accepted Noah. You know why? Because Noah accepted God's word. And Noah did what God told him, and the rest of them rejected God's word. And God said, like he did to Saul, because thou hast rejected my word, I have rejected thee. Did you know that when you reject God's word of repenting and being baptized in the name of the Lord, that you're rejecting God? And when you reject God and his word, that God rejects you? Somebody said, well, the reason I don't be baptized like that is I don't see it. It didn't say anything about you seeing it. It said the just shall live by faith. Not by sight. It don't matter whether you see it or not. I don't see God. So far as my natural sight, I don't see God. That doesn't have anything to do with it. My natural brain, my natural mind tells me not to mess with anything spiritual. But I don't pay any attention to that. Because God said for me not to lean to my own understanding. Whatever God's word says, that's what I believe. Somebody said, well, there you are, you eccentric. You believe some kind of book. Well, I'd rather believe this one about Jesus than that one about George Washington. Amen. You spend all of your life trying to learn about that one. I spend all of my life trying to learn about this one. Somebody said, well, you don't even know there ever was a Jesus. You don't even know there was ever a George Washington either. You can't prove it. He said, well, what now? What are you going to base it on? What are you going to base your convictions on? You know, I say this a lot of time for your consolation. I can tell you what you base it on. History. You ever read history? History, the word history comes from his story. His story. Somebody told you his story. They put his story in a book and you read it. And because of his story, you believe what you believe. Well, that's kind of the way it is with me. I believe his story. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I believe what God said about it, don't you? I believe what the apostle said about it. I believe what the Holy Spirit tells me. This great, wonderful foundation has been laid, folks. And other foundations can nobody lay. So let's forget about all the other foundations, which is no foundation at all. Let's forget about that dark age power that brought up that awful whore that has caused the daughters of that whore to be spread throughout the land. And let's turn to God. And let's take those leaders that Matthew 28 speaks of. When God said to them, Jesus, having been resurrected from the dead, Jesus stood and said, go back and tarry till you receive power. When you receive this power, he said, you preach the gospel to every creature. And said, baptize them in my name, Jesus said. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you know that don't read like that. It most certainly does. Read it. In Matthew, Jesus said, now you go over there and you baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I believe in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't. Because it didn't say nothing about the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the name, singular, one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name Jesus. Because that's all it said. Somebody said, but they baptized me in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. No, they didn't. They lied to you. I tell you this over and over. When a man takes you down in the water and he puts you down in the water, he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and brings you back up. And that's all he does. He lied to you. He did not do it. Satan blinded you. You say, Brother Pike, the Bible said in Matthew 28 to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One name for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For these three are one and they don't need but one name. So then be baptized. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's your idea about it. You can't prove that. Yes, I can prove it. The same ones that he talked to went one Sabbath day's journey. They abode in the upper room, were filled with the Holy Ghost, and come out and preach baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If that wasn't what God meant, why did they disobey what he said? He said, this is the foundation of the church. Folks, I've said this a lot of times, that if Peter, with the keys to the kingdom, and all of the apostles that Jesus commissioned in Matthew 28, if those brethren went right straight contrary to what God had told them to do, then let's forget about religion. Let's throw the Bibles into the ocean, as we say, or in the rivers. Let's realize it's just a freakish thing and there's nothing to it but a bunch of lies. And that even the apostles didn't believe in God enough to do what he told them to do. Or let's sober up and be sensible about it and realize that God's word is no lie and that what them apostles was told to do, they did it right down to the T, and that they understood. And where the problem is not in the apostles, but in your preacher, in your minister. God said they went, but I didn't send them. That's where the problem is. They're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. And they've got them a worldly enterprise to draw money and to collect tithe and offerings. And they're exceedingly rich because of it. That's what the problem is. If Peter and the apostles, beloved brother, sister, if they did not carry out the great commission of Almighty God, if they did not perform what God told them to perform, if Peter didn't do exactly what Christ told him to do in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, then I challenge anybody, anywhere in the world, great, small, rich or poor, preacher or layman, I challenge you to show me one place in the entire Bible where Matthew's, or the commission, the great commission of Matthew's, was ever fulfilled. There is no place. If Peter didn't fulfill it, there is no record where it was ever fulfilled. That means that everything that we're preaching is void, and that not one person ever took the commission of Christ and fulfilled it. There is no record in the entire Bible record or history. I prefer to try to understand. I prefer to believe sense and reasoning in the gospel. I prefer to believe what God's word said about it. I prefer to believe that that was the foundation, and Peter had the keys, and he opened the door to the Jews and down at Cornelius's to the Gentiles and told them all to be baptized in Jesus' name. I prefer to believe that when Philip went down there and preached baptism in Jesus' name, I prefer to believe that they were baptized in Jesus' name as the word said, and all of them spoke the same thing. And that was the early church. And brother, sister, there never was no other church outside of that. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, where did all these things come from? From the old whore. The Catholic Church after 325 A.D., when all of the apostles was killed out and all of the light of God was taken and the whole world plunged into the darkness. If you don't believe that's right, check your library. They got a record of it. The whole world plunged into darkness. But I say again, when Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith, what is faith? Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the word. There's no faith outside of the word. What does the word say? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this in closing. Somebody say, Brother Pike, that little old thing called baptism, while there's so much more, somebody would say, to this great, wonderful ministry, and there's so much more, Brother Pike, to this great, wonderful God. And here you are going to talk about that little old thing, baptism. But did you know, though they try to minimize when you tell them the importance of it in Jesus' name, devils and carnal minds try to minimize. But I'll tell you what, you try to get into the Baptist church and see if they don't tell you, you got to go to the baptism to be baptized in. See if the Catholic Church don't want to take you and drop a few drops on your head before they'll take you in. In all the other churches, it seems like it's pretty important. It's the door and entrance into the church. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, that's the way it is too. To be baptized into Christ, he's the door. He said, I'm the door. That's to put on Christ. And Jesus said, or God said, if you come in my presence without the wedding garment of his flesh and bones, his body, he said, I'll bind your hand and feet and cast you into outer darkness. So then it's not a little issue, my brother. It is the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the putting off of the old man. It's the circumcision. Abraham said, let all of them be circumcised. It's the circumcision. When you put away the heart of stone and you bring forth the heart of flesh, it's taking away the old man and bringing forth the new man. It's circumcision. That's the sign that God gave. I'll give you one sign. That's the sign of Jonah, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Repent, every one of you. So, it's a beautiful thing to be a Christian. It's a beautiful thing to understand and hear. When you hear, you are accountable. When you are accountable, if you do not do it, you will die and go to hell. Somebody say, all down through these years, Brother Pike, with all these great religious people, and now you tell me that God is going to turn people in hell? I tell you that God is going to turn people into hell. Why didn't he do it then, Brother Pike? Because where there's no knowledge, it's not required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the light is for the evening time. Those virgins going to light their candles. Your spirit, the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Who are you talking about? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. So then, God concluded or cut off, pushed aside the Jewish people, kept them in ignorance, so he would not have to require that of them. Paul said so. How great is the wonderful knowledge and power of God that he should cause Israel to be in ignorance, that he might not have to destroy them or require of them. But he'll bring them in the end time. They'll see the nail prints and they'll cry. Somebody said, yeah, after all them haughty Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he goes back over there petting them, bringing them all back in. You know he'll have mercy on the Gentiles. I want to tell you this again, folks. Them Jews didn't reject Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean? I mean the 3,000 that was added to the church that day. What kind of folks do you think those folks were? The Bible said they were men out of every nation under heaven, Jews. Somebody said, well, see there, it was for the Jews. But down at Cornelius, the Bible said the centurion, the Gentiles. Peter said, seeing that there's water here, these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Who can forbid water that they should not be baptized? And they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So then, I said that again to say this. They didn't reject Christ. The Bible said God blinded them in part to give you a chance. Brother, when they find out that the Messiah was crucified, even though they didn't crucify him, they said it's not lawful for us to put a man to death. The Roman powers did it. But when they see the nail prints, there'll be mourning when Jesus said, in the house of my friends I receive these. And they realize how those evil powers mistreated their Messiah. They'll fall at his feet and cry. They'll receive him. They'll receive him. So then God kept them in ignorance, not requiring it. Down through the years, God has let men get by. He once winked at ignorance, but now he commandeth all men to repent. Brother, the light is here. The evening time is here. The restoration of the church is here. And you take my word for it, unless you get in Jesus' name and get baptized in Jesus' name and get full of the Holy Ghost and straighten your life up, you're not going in the rapture. Somebody said, look at all these Pentecostal churches, Brother Pike. Don't you know God isn't going to reject them? No, he's already rejected them. That's why they're going to the ball games and the races and the pool halls and everything else. Those people are not Pentecostal when it comes to using the terms holiness. And besides that, Pentecost is just a Jewish festival. God is the God of holiness. He wants holiness people. He didn't say when John's father prophesied that you should serve me in Pentecost all the days of your life. He said, serve me in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. Having your spirits not unto Pentecost, but unto holiness, he said, and the end thereof eternal life. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, Zongji, let's go on talking about this good old word. Let's go on talking about this Jesus. I want you to stand with me. Somebody would say, well, why make such a fuss? Well, I guess if it's in you, it just has to come out. I reckon that's what the problem is. One writer said, I said I wasn't going to say nothing, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. So I couldn't do nothing about it. You know, a lion, there's just something about it. He's going to roar sometimes or another. He's just going to do it. That's all. He might lay around quiet as a mouse, but one of these days he's going to roar because he's a lion. He's made to roar. It's just going to happen. That's all it is to it. When God said, prophesy, who am I that I can do anything else? There ain't nothing you can do. It's like fire shut up in your bone. I wrote a little song one time called Fire Shut Up in My Bosom. Let's sing this little chorus together, The Stream That's Flowing. Can we sing that? I want to say again, I appreciate Brother Gerald being baptized in Jesus' name. He doesn't mind these sermons. You that have been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't mind these sermons. Those that have not, it torments them because it makes them wonder, you know. But I'll tell you what, they won't be wondering long. Just push over it. Don't do it. Just push over it. Harden your heart against it. And after a while, you won't have any worry. It won't bother you no more. That feeling and worry and concern won't be there no more. The Bible said you can sear your conscience with a hot iron. And you can get past feeling and it won't bother you. You can just be as religious as you want to. It won't bother you at all. But don't forget, it'll be required of you at the judgment. When you get up to the judgment, Brother Pike's going to be standing right there. That Brother Ponder, he's going to be standing right there. Just wait and see. That Brother Taylor, he's going to be standing right there. And that Brother Hollis, you just wait and see. And Brother Peter, he's going to be there too. And can't you just see your pastor? And them great world evangelists that don't believe in that and they feel like it's no need for them to do that. And that's wrong and not important anyway, you know. Now just think, here comes Oral Roberts, he's going to be there. And here comes Till Osborne and he's going to be there. And here comes Brother Branham and he's going to be there. There's going to be Brother Elijah, he's going to be there. And there's going to be Brother Peter, he's going to be there. And Brother Paul, he's going to be there. And Brother Methodist and Brother Baptist and Brother Presbyterian and Brother Papacy, they're all going to be there. And can't you just imagine as they all come up, you know, and they're standing before God. The Lord looks at Peter and he says, Peter, what did you have to say about it? He said, well, Lord, I told him to repent and be baptized in your name for the remission of sin. It was supposed to be all over the world like that. And Brother Papacy, what have you got to say about it? Well, I didn't believe it. I felt it was hard to do it another way. Brother Methodist, how do you feel? And Brother Baptist, I feel like Brother Papacy. You know, I gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Well, that didn't make any difference, you know. That was for their day. This is a modern day now. You know, we lived in the modern day. And our people was different. And the Lord's going to look back and he's going to say, is that right? Say, yeah. Maybe he won't say it like that. So you lived in a different day. It was a different people. Well, I've got some news for you. What is this good news? I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe it like Peter taught it. And then where is Brother Methodist and Brother Baptist and Brother Pentecostal and all of these others going to be? Brother, I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to Brother Pike. Them folks wish they'd listened to Noah, but they waited too late. You better listen. They wish they'd have listened to Peter. 70 AD, when God let Titus come in there and plow that city like a field. And Titus himself said it must be the act of God. So many people killed and slaughtered and blood running everywhere. And the buildings burned. Titus said, I know I'm a general. I know I come here. I know I started this fight. Said, but it must be God. Said, I didn't do this. I couldn't have done all of this. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the great prophets, and thus shall it be. Folks, just take an ignorant, unlearned man's word for it, because that's the way it is. They said these men are ignorant and unlearned. Old John, he was ignorant and unlearned, never been to college, but the Bible said he's great. He shall be great in the sight of God. That's where the true greatness is. How do you want to be great? Do you want to be great in the sight of men or great in the sight of God? How can you have the honor of God? The Bible said when you seek honor one of another, looking for some kind of papers and degrees in this world. Let's sing together, brother, sister, that stream is flowing. There's a stream that is flowing. down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. It's in Jesus' name. There's a stream that's flowing from Calvary. Can you sing one more time? That stream keeps flowing down from Calvary. That stream keeps flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. It's in Jesus' name, that stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Did you notice as the songwriter wrote, he said that stream that's flowing down from Calvary, said it's in Jesus' name. Oh, that makes me feel so good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what makes you feel so good? Well, first of all, the Bible said serving God's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice always. And another thing, to know that God believes in my doctrine. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, God believes in my doctrine. And I believe in his doctrine. Because his doctrine is my doctrine. And my doctrine is his doctrine. And it's one doctrine. And the only doctrine. And what kind of doctrine is it? The Bible said they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's my doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Praise God. And them that are called by my name, Jesus said, if they will humble themselves, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. All they got to do is call on me. Call on me. If you desire anything, Jesus said, ask it my name, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Why? Because I want you to have it. He said, this is my desire, that you prosper and be in health. And the Bible said, my desire is for you to bring forth much fruit. And you know what the Bible said the fruit is? Jesus said the fruit is that whatever you ask in my name, you can have it. He said, I'd like for you to bring forth much fruit. I just love for you to ask and ask and ask. Jesus said, you've not asked anything. But from henceforth you ask. I want your joys to be full. What would you like to have, folks? What would you like to have? Decree a thing in your heart to come to pass. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, if you're a believer. How many of you are believers? Are you a believer? Faith by the hearing of the word. If you've honored the word, you're a believer. How wonderful. How wonderful. No wonder they got drunk on Pentecost. It's no wonder. I get woozy every once in a while when I get up here. I've been up here preaching. When I feel the translating power of God and the quickening of the Spirit so much, and I tell you the truth and lie not. Paul said, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I tell you the truth. I've actually been standing up here when I'd get that feeling would come over me like my soul was leaving my body. And like that inner man was just fixing to say goodbye. And I began to feel kind of light all over. You know, I kind of feel that lifting thing, you know, like when Peter walked on the water. I feel that gravitation begin to lose power like it did with Ezekiel. Lose its hold. Praise God. Praise God. Folks, it's getting closer and closer. Let's sing this little chorus. You remember Elijah? Let's sing this little chorus. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, it was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Sing it again with me. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? They're coming to carry me home. Band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Let's say it again now. If you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Can you say amen? Glory to God, what a wonderful thought. You know, it's lightning outside. Real bad lightning. They reported hail last night. I think it was over in Conyers. They said about an inch big. One of these days, the weight of a talent, the hail's coming down. You know, all the planets out of source, no telling what might happen, folks. But there's one thing about it, you don't have anything to fear. If you've done what he told you, when death closes in, beloved friend, you don't have anything to fear. Oh, let's pray one for another. Let's pray, let's ask God to heal and God to save and God to forgive. And let's be brothers and sisters. Let's be holy and godly and clean. Let God see us in the corner clean. Let him see us when we're out of his presence clean and holy. Oh, let's be holy. Jesus said, be holy for I'm holy. Be holy in your body as well as your spirit. While you're standing here with your eyes closed, your hands lifted, I want to say that it's my privilege tonight to minister to you, talk to you, and sometimes I just come up here and I just kind of talk, you know. Sometimes I kind of holler. I get kind of excited. But tonight, while you've got your hands up, your heart's lifted and open to Christ, I'm going to ask our brother Ponder to come up and pray for you. He's just had a wonderful miracle in his life, a great healing, a great healing. He told us about it over in the evening. And he's just exercised his faith to a great, mighty, outstanding thing. And if he did that for his body, and if he believed God for his healing, then tonight, why not, as he comes to pray, why not let him pray for you? And why not believe tonight as he prays? I'd like for him to come up to the sacred desk if he doesn't mind. And I'd like for him to pray here for you. As you lift your hands to heaven and your hearts to heaven. And tonight as he prays for you, I want you to believe. The Bible said when you pray, believe. And you know, it doesn't do any good to pray unless you believe. But let's believe. If that's what's wrong with the church of today, then let's get back to the church of yesterday. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's believe and enjoy His wonderful benefit.